Amen. Well, this evening we are honored to be able to have Chris Nanikin with us. Chris is a special friend truly to us here at Heritage, special friend to myself. Chris is from India originally, but quite a scholar, but most importantly, quite a prophet of God's word, a prophet also proclaiming the need for global missions as he travels truly world over, talking to people about Jesus, training up leaders and developing leaders to be able to lead the future church. Chris has been truly a blessing here at Heritage. Many of you have sat in on his electives on Wednesday nights. Many of you heard him preach before, and it has always been a great challenge. Would you give Chris a warm welcome this evening as he comes and delivers God's word to us?
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Bye, only four of you here tonight. Good evening, church.
Good evening.
Well, it's a wonderful time of the year, isn't it? It's a wonderful and such a wonderful time just to listen to our children do their singing and presentation. I love to listen to children. I find it very interesting when children kind of get into trouble. We say, hey, why don't you grow up? And Jesus looks at us adults and say, why don't you become like children in order to enter the kingdom? There's something about children and out of the mouths of babes. Wonderful praise. I was reading about this strange picture that this kid had drawn of the nativity scene. It was the most odd picture because this child had got all the characters of Christmas on top of an aeroplane. And so the mom was a little bit worried as he said, sweetheart, what are you drawing? And she said, mom, a little bit disappointed, this is the nativity scene. She said, yeah, but you've got all the Christmas characters on top of an aeroplane. Very disappointed at her mom. She said, mom, this is the flight into Egypt. So mom said, oh, sorry, sweetheart. Didn't recognize that. She said, yeah, this is nice. Oh, she says, there's Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, the wise men on one side, the shepherd. And then suddenly she said, who's this mean-looking man sitting right there in front of the aeroplane? Again, disappointed, she said, mom, that's Pontius the pilot. And she said, oh, okay, that's right. And then she said, but I really am confused. Who's this big guy sitting right there, huge guy protecting like a bodyguard Mary and Joseph? And said, mom, that is Round John Virgin. Round John Virgin, you know. All right, never mind. See me later and I'll explain that last part to you. Listen, it's just a blessing to be here this Sunday evening. I'm meeting with friends and tremendous Christian workers, and they're here in our church. My colleague Arthur MacArthur is here this evening, works around with the Insan people in the Mekong area. We've got veteran missionaries here this evening, Alan, Susan Henson. Welcome to our service and church. And we have our own colleagues from China here. Without going into details on their names, it's such an honor to have a team here. So I wasn't, in any way worried about coming a little early. I usually come on Tuesdays to teach at Liberty, but I thought it's wonderful to be with our church family. I'm always here midweek. I'm just used to. I was brought up by the missionaries. We believed in the Lord's day, not the Lord's morning. And so we had to come for every time the doors of the church were open. But then to have every opportunity to fellowship, particularly this season, the warmth of it is wonderful. Well, when Pastor Nathan said to me, he says, Chris, can you share something related to Christmas, but also missions? And I said, well, what else is Christmas about? It's about missions, isn't it? The Father sent his Son. That's where we get the word mission, from the word missio in Latin, which is where we get the word apostolo in Greek, which is the word mission in English. So mission literally means sent. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so what? Send are you. But I want to talk to you about the same passage that Pastor shared with us this morning. But this is a season I found that everybody's in a hurry. trying to finish up things at the university, trying to make sure you buy all the presents before Christmas, making sure everything is done before the year end. Everybody's in a rush, rush, rush. Have you ever wondered, what was the first Christmas rush? I want to talk to you today about the first Christmas rush. And by the way, it's about missions. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 to 18. Let me read this for us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, listen, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because I bring you good news that will cause great joy, but this is for all people. You can already see the missional theme unfolding with the name going to the nations right there at the birth of Jesus. Today, verse 11, today, in the town of David is born a Savior. A Savior has been born, and this Savior has been born unto you, for unto you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. He is Messiah, Christ the Lord. And by the way, the angel said in verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, verse 13, there appeared a great company of heavenly hosts along with the angel. And by the way, this may disappoint some of us. The angels did not sing. I know we have whole hymns written called Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but nowhere at Christmas did angels sing. The literal word laleo means they were saying, they were chanting to say the most. They did sing at creation, so maybe they're going to sing in eternity. So perhaps there was a little bit of a song, but they actually were saying and praising God. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace and goodwill to men, among those on whom his favor rests, on whom God is pleased with, to them there is peace. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, can you see them? I mean, they must have been petrified. They said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I mean, why us? Who picked us? And so, what's the next phrase? Look at the verse. And so, verse 16, they what? They went. Oh, come on, they? They hurried. The first Christmas rush. They hurried. They went. They couldn't wait but scurry. They ran. They hurried off. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a what? In a manger. This is a trough, a feeding trough. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him. That word, spread the word, is actually the word preaching, proclaiming, sharing. What is this good news? It's gospel. Euangelion. We get the word evangelism from sharing good news. Anglios, angel said. The message is also the same root. The word prefix you means good news, gospel. They were the first evangelists. The very first preachers of the gospel were lowly shepherds. You know they were illiterate, never went to school. And in fact, I'll show you, they wouldn't even let them into the temple. But they were God's chosen evangelists. They went everywhere. They spread the word about the child. And all who heard it, in verse 18, were amazed. Not at what the angel said. Did you notice that? At what the shepherds are now relaying to them. Now, in this message I've called the first Christmas rush, I want to share a few things about this message. I want to first raise some questions. I mean, I must confess, as a pastoral theologian, my passion is for the church and mission. And as a pastoral theologian, I've always wondered, why is it when God and heaven wanted to give earth the most grandest news ever, they would give it to the lowliest of all people. Have you ever wondered? Now, if I was God, I know that sounds sacrilegious, but if I was God and I was sending my son, who's the king of all creation, I would send him to Rome, to Caesar, or at least to Herod in the palace and say, yo, get off the throne, my son's come. He's the real king of the Jews, right? I would give Herod a little hint there. Or I would at least go to Caiaphas or the priests in the temple and tell the people in the temple, listen, stop doing your double, triple PhDs. We found it. This is my son, Yeshu, Messiah has come, right? I would do that. Or to say the least, on a humanitarian level, I would, Mary, did you know Mary herself brought forth the baby Jesus? When you read of that verb, she herself bore a son. That reflexive noun shows, that verb shows that there was no help. Maybe she herself cut the umbilical cord. I don't know how much help Joseph was. I mean, that guy was like clueless anyway. I remember one of the plays that we did in our church, and my wife was training these young people, and they would forget the line. And so she would say, listen, in case you forget the line, improvise. You don't have to stick, you know, to the script. You can always improvise a little. And this was the funniest thing. Joseph and Mary are going, the innkeeper's there, Mary's pregnant, the donkey's another guy, and then he comes, he says, sir, I need some room in the inn. And Mary says, there's no room. I mean, the innkeeper says, there's no room in the inn. So Joseph acts like the man of the house. He says, don't you see my wife is pregnant? I really need some room in the inn. He says, listen, there's absolutely no room in the inn. He says, I'm telling you again, my wife is going to give birth anytime. We need some room in this inn. And the innkeeper turns to Joseph and says, listen, if your wife's pregnant, it's not my fault. And now Joseph improvises and he says, listen, it's not my fault either. You know, many times we just wonder what's going on. I mean, what is God doing that first Christmas? Why shepherds? What is really going on in this scene? Well, I want to ask at least a few questions. As a pastoral theologian, my first question is, why? I mean, why shepherds? Who did they represent? Who were these shepherds? Not only why shepherds, in terms of who they represented, let's examine how they responded to the message. Because that's where we find the correlation between Christmas. By the way, we get the word Christmas because there was a mass or a service for Christ. That's where we get the word Christmas. And now we don't say mass, we think of Roman Catholicism. But before Protestantism, there was only one church. And the Catholic Church said mass. They used to have services for Christ. So we have Christmas. What is the correlation between Christmas, a mass for Christ, and Christian mission being sent? Very simply, I'll give you the answer now. Christ has come, so we must go. And we'll see how that works out. So let's try and answer what made these guys really worthy recipients. There's 3 points I have today. I'm a Baptist. So I got to have 3 points today and share, first of all, the gospel of grace, proclamation of peace, and then good tidings of great joy. So let me start with the first one. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Who are these people? Isaiah prophesied that when Messiah would come, people seated in darkness have seen a great light. Now, without going into too much of allegory, there is a sense, in a real sense, in which these shepherds were in the dark in more ways than one. Trust me. Now, in the Western understanding of sin, we always think of something that you did or didn't do and you were disobedient and so you've sinned, right? Did you know the majority of the world, particularly in China and India, that is majority of the world, sin is not just something you do or don't do. Sin is ignorance. Jnana and ajnana. That's why in Hinduism and Buddhism, Buddha was enlightened. There's a sense in which darkness means there is a lack of revelation. Because the entrance of God's word brings what? Light. Light represents revelation. So people who do not have this revelation are in darkness. Darkness also represents moral decay, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. So they are in the dark in more ways than one. What is this great light? I believe, and by the way, this is just my understanding of Scripture. I believe the presence of the Lord is known manifestively, at least in that time, in terms of the Shekinah, the glory, that doxa. Now these shepherds, because they were outcasts, they could not go to the temple, certainly couldn't go into the presence, the Holy of Holies. Only the priest, even the high priest, once a year on Yom Kippur could only go with certain rituals. They could not go to the presence of God. Watch this. The presence of God comes to them. That glory on the mountainside, I believe, was the Shekinah, was a manifestation of God coming to people where they are in Christ. It is totally different from people going into the temple, and there were all kinds of blockades. God comes to be with us, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. They receive, they become recipients of this wonderful grace. Though socially and religiously they were outcasts, eating hand to mouth, suddenly they find a tremendous freedom. Suddenly they find there's a future and a hope. They had no hope. They were filled with fear. Will the animals get lost in the night? Would wolves attack them? Will their masters beat them up for not counting the right amount? What are they going to do tomorrow? Where are their own kids? These nomadic pastoral shepherds had so many fears. But in that quietness, something was given. How silently, God's wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. Shekinah comes to the shepherds. That love that came down casts out all fear. That hope produces in them light, revelation, life in terms of the light of life and hope and true liberty. This is the gospel of grace, because they did not deserve it. They were needy and they became recipients of the grace of the gospel of grace. I remember working in South India. One of my earliest meetings was with Sigamani. Sigamani worked in a slum area. Literally, the slum was built on top of a public drainage system. And he was in our church. He and his wife, Joyce, felt called. And they went and they said to me, Pastor Chris, we are so glad you're around. Could you come for our service, our Christmas service? And I said to him, Sigamani, I really would like to come. I must tell you, I'm preaching 5 times. That particular Sunday when I was in India. I said, I would love to, but he said, Pastor, you can come. I said, well, when we went, he said, the service is at 4 o'clock. I said, 4 in the evening? He said, no, 4 in the morning. I was like, I don't think Jesus was born that early. 4 in the morning. The angels even are not up that early. He said, listen, Pastor, seriously, our people would love to have you. They know you are our sending pastor. Would you come? And as I was thinking, my wife kicked me under the table, which, you know, go make yourself useful. I said, all right, I'll come. So, I drove a little motorbike, and I went to the slum area and trying to find it 4 in the morning. And then suddenly I could hear them singing. I went up to this roof and seated there, very well dressed, all wrapped up in saris, their faces painted with all kinds of powder. And I was like, whoa, I mean, Indian clothing are gaudy anyway. And this was like, you didn't need lights. I mean, everything was shining with Jerry. And I said to Sigamani, what is this going on? Why are you meeting so early? He said, Pastor, This is a TB infected area. And he said, Pastor Chris, everyone you're ministering to are street sweepers. The government hires them to sweep the streets. This is the only time they can meet. Because once the sun comes up, the streets need to be swept. This is the only time they can meet. And I remember sitting there, we had communion, and I'm squatting on the ground. I said, now you want communion? And I sat there, and he says, these people have never had, they are Christians, but they wanted you. And this is a culture where the pastor has to come to do the communion. So I'm sitting there, and he says, most of these people don't know whether they are worthy to take it. And for the first time, I understood what Luke 2 and verse 11 was all about. As I broke the bread and I gave it to these slum people who were Dalits. They were castes, outcasts in our culture. They're the lowest of all castes. They are street sweepers. And as I broke this bread and gave it to them with tears in my eyes, I said, for unto you, Christ came. I mean, I've taken communion services in a lot of places, but I'll never forget that communion as the recipients felt so unworthy to be part of the body of Christ. The problem, I think, in our Western world is we have so much to live with that in seasons like this, we are caught up with the commercialization of Christianity. We have domesticated God, and we have now marketing his message called Christmas unto you. The gospel of grace to those who are needy. The second thing I want to show to you is about the proclamation of peace. For unto you is born this day. I bring you glad tidings. Peace on earth. I have received several emails from colleagues, particularly in Asia, some of my friends in Singapore, and they are worried. I mean, many of us are happy that Donald Trump eventually has actually mentioned the capital of Israel, which for some reason, after 3,000 years, we still have a problem. But, did you know that the rest of the world are really worried? And we don't understand. We're like, yes, that's good, that's right, or maybe why did he do it in the way he did it? The rest of the world, particularly Asia and the Islamic world, are really worried whether the Brotherhood would now surround Israel. We could have World War III. This rumors of war is now going to be war. And in the midst of all the calamities, the anxiety from the personal stress of the season to nations rising against nations, sandwiched in the midst of that is a proclamation, peace, shalom, irene, my peace. What is this peace? Do we know this peace in the midst of all the hurry and worry and bury? And I should add from India, the curry that's going on here. Do we really understand the peace of God? Well, this is also prophetic. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, 700 years before Messiah could come, Isaiah the prophet said, for unto you a child is born. A child brings peace. No, the second part. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a what? A son is? Did you notice it didn't say a child is given and a son was born? Is it parallel? Is it parallelism? I mean, son born, son given. What's the difference? It's a big difference. You know why? The son was never born. This is the eternal, uncreated God, the Son, who was given, Galatians 4 and verse 4, when the pluroma, when the fullness of time had come. This is kairos, not chronos. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. For what? To redeem those of us under the law. That is Christmas. God's always on time. It was the right time. Or should I say the ripe time? God sent his Son. Peace cannot be manufactured. In the Bible, we see maintain the unity of the body and the peace. God has produced peace. We can't manufacture. No peace treaty can be signed on earth that's going to keep us peaceful. We say there's no goodwill among men. Yes, because there's no peace from God. Once you have the peace of God, that peace will pass all understanding. It will keep our hearts and our minds, Philippians 4 and verse 6, in Christ our Lord. We are trying to keep goodwill among people when we haven't had the peace of God. How can that work? You need the cross. All our political affairs is trying to patch up and manufacture some external peace. You say, what is peace? Peace is a person. Ephesians in chapter 4, he is our peace, who has broken down every wall. We live in an age and a time with all the calamities at the domestic level, at the very national level, at an international level. And that first Christmas, God gave us his peace. The world can't give us that peace. And guess what, church? The world cannot take it away. Do you have that peace this evening, this season? It's a peace in the midst of the storms. It's a peace that comes to us, that gives us the inner fortitude that we belong to Jesus, that this Savior belongs to us. The way we run around and we worry the year ending and all the financial situations and forecasting, it seems like we have no peace. But I want to see that peace was for these shepherds given as a sign. Because there's something paradoxical in the peace that God gives us. What is it? I've asked people, what is the sign that the angel gave the shepherds? What is the sign? Pardon? What was the sign? You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Right? Is that a sign? That's not a sign. I hope you wrap babies in swaddling clothes. Every baby is wrapped in swaddling clothes. The sign was not that you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, because every baby in Bethlehem was wrapped in swaddling clothes. What is the sign? Lying in a manger. You say, what is the sign in that? Let me ask you. The wise men were given a star. Were the wise men given a sign? Tell me, church, tell me, who is the only occupational group that instantly will recognize a manger? Who would? Because that is what they lived in, day and night feeding, putting this thing in a dirty trough. This wooden stable we built, cradle we built and put cotton in it, I'm sorry, that is not the manger. If you go to Bethlehem, you'll probably see some piece of stone lying there that carved there with everything, like you put dirty food that's degradable sometimes and they come and feed animals. Church, Jesus was born in a parking lot. Did you know that? This was where animals were tried for travelers. He was born in a parking lot. Jesus was a refugee. He was an asylum seeker. He was actually called an illegitimate child. This is our Jesus. For unto you, shepherds, a savior. Today you're in our church. And no matter what has happened in your life, you can know his peace. Because peace came down that first Christmas. That peace will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ our Lord. The final thing I want to show you is not only the good news, the proclamation. I also want to show you that there was glad tidings of great joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. This is where I show you where we are missional at this time. The shepherds hurry. Can you see them? Because they sit there, the angel and the Shekinah goes away, that multitude that has given glory to God in the highest, they have done their job. Immediately they look around, they have a dialogue, they listen, why us? Why us? Suddenly they realized, they may not have known about John Calvin and predestination or whether they were hyper-Calvinistic. I'll tell you what, they knew they were chosen. They said, listen, God has chosen us. We cannot keep this to ourselves. We've got to do two things. Number one, we've got to go and find this out for ourselves. We need a personal experience. If you're in our church this evening, you're part of program, we're so glad you're here this evening. But I tell you what, along with the pastoral staff, let me say this. Our greatest desire is not that you just participate in a program, but you experience this personal Savior. He said, let's go and find out. Let us go now. They didn't say, let's have a discussion. Let's have a debate. No. They said, could this be true? No. They said, let's go. And they ran. The first Christmas rush was what? Not for the Black Friday sales. Not for the markdown for Christmas. The first Christmas rush was to experience the Christ child. And they came. And they saw a manger. And here's the sign. Majesty in a manger. God in the flesh. Who art thou, little babe? Sweet little babe nestled in the hay? Who art thou? God I am. Come to earth to stay. Why did you come? Sweet little babe nestled in the hay? To die I came. The price of sins to pay. Who sins? Sweet little babe nestled in the hay? Yours it was that brought me down today. When babies are born, they're born to live. There was one baby that was born to die, that we might live, who came to earth, new life to give. The shepherds got it. They accepted the fact. They not only accepted the fact, they analyzed their findings. And you know what's the third thing? They announced their faith. They didn't just personally experience the Christ. You know what they said? Let us go. We've got a whole song. Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills. And everywhere. That's the gospel. That's the Great Commission. Those of us who've experienced Jesus, we can't keep it to ourselves. We've got to tell somebody. William Booth, 1 year, the founder of Salvation Army, came to a time when he didn't have enough money. Time was run out. He wanted to give his workers something for Christmas. Eventually he thought, he said, what can I give to them? Time ran out, no resources. William Booth sent all the Salvation Army workers. In those days, we call it a telegraph. How many of you remember a telegraph? He sent this telegram with one word. Others. Others. Church, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christmas is not just for us, it's for others. Yes, God is for us, but it's not all about us. Christmas is not my birthday party or your birthday party, it's Jesus' birthday party. We've got to invite others. That's missions. You come and you see, you go and you tell. See the sequence? Unless you come and see, you can't go and tell. Have you come? Have you seen the Christ child? You say, yeah, I've been in this church. Yeah, okay, now what do you do? The shepherds didn't say, let me have a 3-year diploma or degree with Christology right now. You know what they did? They said, we've got to go tell somebody. So they went everywhere. They announced their personal faith in two ways. Publicly. Secondly, praisefully. The excitement, the joy they realized what was theirs, Jesus, the joy of all the earth had come. They had to go and tell the whole world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. How do we respond? This glory to God was to the highest. What did they do? As far as I know, they didn't leave their jobs like I did when I was an electrical engineer. I worked for a German company, Bosch, and I grew up in a time when you left everything, your job, and went into full-time ministry. Now I tell my students at Liberty, don't give up your jobs. You tell me what your major is, and I'll tell you how to be a missionary with that major. Why do you need to change your major? You are the salt of the earth. God is looking for us, no matter who you are in our church, to come and see. But don't stop. Go and tell. That is mission. Why? Christ has come. Christians must go. That's the correlation. Why else did he come? So I want to challenge us tonight. They went back to their ordinary jobs. I am convinced they went back to their ordinary secular jobs, but they had an extraordinary message to share to the world. Everyone who heard them, not the angel, who heard them, were marveled. How come they? Let me give you a quick fact now. Did you know Isaiah also prophesied and said, who has heard our report? Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know what? Did you know that if these shepherds went to a court of law and testified, that their testimony wouldn't even be legally accepted? Did you know that? Read your Bible background, you'll find out. These guys were so illiterate and considered stupid and morally not there that they wouldn't even entertain their witness in a court of law. God chooses them to be the first witnesses, to be the first evangelists, to be the first preachers of the gospel. Are you wondering who's going to listen to you? Hey, if the shepherds were given the message, don't you think we got to go? You think I'm not qualified? Of course we are. Whoever you are, whatever your age, if you're in our church, we go out. When we go through those doors, we're going into the mission field. We've got to tell somebody who Jesus is. What did they do? They received the gospel in sincere faith. They responded with obedience. And most of all, they reported it with enthusiasm. God still comes to us today. But are we listening? Here's my thesis or answer for my first question with which I started this message. Why shepherds? You want to know the answer? Why shepherds? Why not the kings? Why not the people in the palace or in the temple or even one of their relatives? Why shepherds? Here's the answer. They were quiet enough to listen. And they were yielded enough to obey. That's why. God still comes to those in this busy season who are quiet enough to listen, whose hearts are yielded enough to obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy. They rejoiced. Has God spoken to you this evening? One of my earliest messages when I got converted in the late 70s, I used to listen to a program called Back to the Bible in a little transistor in South India. You know those transistors? You have to play with the band and eventually you get Back to the Bible. And it came at 7 o'clock. It was broadcast out of Seychelles in Manila. And then in sitting in Bangalore, learning how to shave, you know, I have to get hair, you know, a little bit, and I try to shave. Now, facial hair is styled now. But anyway, I used to try and shave it. And then Theodore Hepp will come. I love to tell the story. I grew up with that stuff. And then Richard DeHaan. And I would listen to Richard DeHaan and say, Jesus, I want to tell people too. One day when I grow up from this little village in India, I want to tell somebody about Jesus. My mother borrowed money to put me in a school so I can learn English, to keep me out of the streets. My mom's dead. But you know why I'm here in this church today? Because my mother, who borrowed money and died in debt, does she know that that street kid is now the professor for theology and global studies in the world's largest Christian university? That's the gospel of grace. I don't deserve it. In spite of whatever's happening, I have God's peace. This glad tidings, can I keep it to myself? I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the unreached people groups. I'm going to do whatever it takes to spread that joy. That's what Christmas is. Richard DeHaan asked the question, can this be Christmas? And this is what he says in a poem. What's all this hectic rush and hurry? Where go these crowds that run and scurry? Why all the lights, the Christmas trees, the jolly fat man? Tell me, please. Why don't you know? This is the day for parties and for fun and play. Why, this is Christmas. So this is Christmas, do you say? But where is Christ this Christmas day? Has he been lost among the throng? His voice drowned out by empty song? No, he's not here. You'll find him where? Some humble soul kneels down in prayer who knows the Christ of Christmas. But see the many aimless thousands who gather on this Christmas day, whose hearts have never yet been opened or said to him, come in to stay. In countless homes, there's candles burning, in countless hearts, expectant yearnings for pleasure, party, food, and fun, and dancing till the day is done. But not a tear, a sigh, or sorrow. For him so poor, he had to borrow a crib, a colt, a boat, a bed, where he could lay his weary head. I'm tired of all this recreation, feasting, drinking, celebration. I'll go instead to Calvary. And there I'll kneel with the shepherds who know the meaning of that manger low and find the Christ this Christmas. I'll leap by faith across the years to that great day when he appears a second time to rule and reign and end all sorrow, death, and pain, and worship Christ, not Christmas. Christ has come. We must go. The correlation between Christmas and Christian mission. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you for this season. Thank you that Emmanuel is God with us, but it's not all about us. Help us, like those lowly shepherds, unqualified as they may be, who received the gospel of grace, to whom was proclaimed peace, for whom those glad tidings was not something to keep, but to go and tell. May we this service not only come and see, but more importantly, go and tell. Father, if there be someone here in our service who have not personally experienced the Christ of Christmas, may you be born in them today. And those of us who know the Christ, may we never be ashamed of the gospel. Help us to remember it's glad tidings to all people. It's joy to the world. Help us to keep going till Jesus comes again. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. And if you are here tonight and you have questions about new life in Christ, I'll be down here at the front. Please come make yourself known. Ask any questions. We'd love to be able to show you from God's word what new life in Christ looks like. Chris, thank you so much. You've been blessed tonight by the challenge of God's word. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Chris, would you join me real quick back up here? Would you all stand with me this evening? We're going to close in a word of prayer. I know we just prayed, but this is a prayer. I love to pray on behalf of the church, a dedication over my brother Chris, just an incredible expositor and teacher of God's word all over the world. Let's pray for him and his ministry as he serves the director of training for OTAN, which is Outreach to Asia Nationals, and just the incredible impact that they have. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for my brother Chris. You have anointed him. You have empowered him. You have gifted him. You have brought him out of the streets of India. And Lord, you have made him a chosen elder in your church, your global church, to proclaim your name. Would you give him unction and power as he continues forward? Would you bless OTAN, the missionaries that are here tonight visiting, the national partners, some of whom are here tonight as well. Oh God, would you bless them, empower them, give them boldness, give them joy in you. And would you remind all of us what Chris has challenged us tonight, that we would be ambassadors. We would have seen, and now we will go. Bless Chris. Bless his wife. Bless his dear family. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a blessed evening. Chris, you are welcome here anytime, brother.
Thanks so much.
Have a good week.